We've been considering Asher Norman's book, 26 Reasons Why Jews Do Not Believe in Jesus. With an effort not to refute Jews, again, we want to keep in mind that we can answer every one of his objections, and that will not convince anyone that Jesus is indeed the Son of God, that Christianity is true. Belief is always a matter of the heart. We understand that it's the Spirit of God that convinces man of what truth is. But yet at the same time, it is, I think, important for us as Christians to know that there are legitimate answers and credible explanations to the objections that are being raised against the credibility of Christianity, against the credibility of Jesus of Nazareth. And in so doing, then, we've been just making some very broad comments on some of the reasons that Asher Norman suggests as to why Jews ought not to believe in Jesus. The sixth reason in his book is that Jesus, he claims, was a false prophet. And he's going to demonstrate that Jesus was a false prophet by looking at various texts in the Scripture that he believes Christ prophesied but yet did not come into fulfillment. We do know, and the Scripture makes it clear, the Old Testament makes it clear, that one of the tests of a true prophet was that what he predicted had to come to pass. If he made a prediction and it did not come to pass according to his statement, then he was to be identified as a false prophet. Another test of a true prophet was that what he said had to be in conformity to everything else God had revealed. The spirit of prophets are subject to the prophets, always a conformity in the Word of God, a consistency in the Word of God. But he claims that Jesus, because he made predictions that did not come to fulfillment, has to be identified as a false prophet. Now, he even argues with the absurdity, from the absurdity of even our claim as Christians that Jesus was a prophet. He argues that we as Christians believe that Jesus was God, is God, and we do believe that. But he argues that God then can't be his own prophet. So even the fact that we argue that Jesus was a prophet, and he was the true prophet, the ideal prophet of God, he says even that claim is absurd. But I just want to look at one example. We can multiply the examples that he uses and give explanations to demonstrate that the prophecies that Christ made indeed did come to pass. And I do agree with Norman that if Christ did predict anything that did not come to pass, then like any other prophet, he would be identified as a false prophet. But the evidence is unmistakable. The evidence is unmistakable that Jesus indeed was a true prophet of God, that one that represented God, the express manifestation of God, speaking the Word of God in absolute truth in everything that he said. One of the examples that Norman uses concerns Christ's prediction concerning his own resurrection. And this is a key prophecy upon which the Lord Jesus Christ staked his prophetic identification, that just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, in the heart of the fish, in the belly of the fish, so will the Lord Jesus then be 3 days, three nights in the heart of the earth. And he predicts his death and his resurrection using that analogy. Well, Asher takes objection to that. And he argues that Jesus indeed was not 3 days and three nights in the grave before his supposed resurrection, according to his terminology. He argues that Jesus was not 24 hours one day, 24 hours day two, 24 hours day three in the grave. He was raised on the third day. I would submit to you that Asher's own interpretation of that is fallacious. His own interpretation of that is wrong. And on the basis of his misinterpretation of the statement of Jesus, he accuses Jesus then of being a false prophet, of not predicting the truth. I don't want to go into all of the technical details here, but if you look at the prophecy that Christ has made concerning his death, 3 days, three nights, that is not, according to the reckoning of time in that particular period, that does not mean that a day represents 24-hour period of time as far as the designation is concerned. Without getting into detail, let me just explain it very, very simply, if I can. The Jewish day, the day regarded in this particular period of time, was viewed in terms of morning and evening, day and night. And that represented a unit. A unit that we'll call a day, consisted of night, two 12-hour periods of time. And as far as the reckoning was concerned, any part of a unit, even if it was just an hour in a given unit, was remarked or regarded as that full unit. So if we look at the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, he was crucified on the ninth hour, on the third day. He was buried on the first day, on that Friday most likely. He was buried before 6 p.m., and therefore, even though just a short period of time in that unit, it was nonetheless regarded as a full day. Then the next day, and then he was raised on the third day. On the third day, early in the morning on the third day, but part of that third day, and therefore constituting the entire unit. So three units only if a part of that unit is designated or included in the reckoning was regarded as that full period of time. So all I'm saying, that was a bit complicated, I know, but if we understand that what Christ is doing is just speaking in terms of time framework that was common during his day, his prediction concerning his own resurrection was dead on accurate. He was in the tomb for three units, not 24-hour periods, but for three units, a portion of unit one, all of unit two, a portion of unit three. But I say in the reckoning, to refer to those as 3 days, three nights, was in perfect keeping. So Norman's accusation against Christ is based upon his own fallacious and misunderstanding of the calculation of time in that particular period. Let's give Christ the benefit of the doubt. And when we look at what he says in the context in which he is making the statement, he is indeed unquestionably the true prophet, the ideal prophet, the final word of God that the Lord has revealed for us to hear, to believe, and to trust.